I have no financial relationships to disclose associated with this study. However, I do want to point out this is research that's sponsored, conducted through the Arkansas Center for Clinical and Translational Research, which is funded by the NIH National Center for Research Resources as one of the CTSA sites. And we're also using data from the Arkansas Department of Health. And I want to acknowledge my co-worker Heath Goss as well, who helped with this work. So this study was motivated by the fact that we know hospitals across the country, and in our context in the state of Arkansas, our hospitals vary pretty widely in their capacity, clinical capacity, to care for acutely premature and low birth weight infants. And we do have a large and growing body of evidence suggesting that the health outcomes for low birth weight, and especially for very low birth weight infants, are much improved when those deliveries occur in hospitals that are equipped with neonatal intensive care units and other specialized services to care for small and acutely premature infants. Because infants that are often born outside of those settings can have higher risks of complication and also then delays in obtaining needed care, often because of the need for a transport after delivery to a facility, higher level facility. That can then reduce, result in longer length of stay and higher resource use. So we know outcomes are better when these infants are delivered in higher level settings. But there's still lots of uncertainty and concern about the efficiency and the cost of treating infants in those settings. As Arkansas policymakers have begun to consider ways of getting more of these deliveries to more of these low birth weight and very low birth weight deliveries to occur in higher level NICU settings, and looking at ways of incentivizing that and using public reporting and perhaps even using pay for performance types of policies to incentivize physicians and hospitals to facilitate those deliveries to occur in higher level facilities. They had concerns about the cost of implementing those kind of policies. What kind of costs are likely to result from shifting larger proportions of low birth weight deliveries to occur in those higher level settings? And so that really was the motivation for our study. In Arkansas, there are basically four facilities that have that are hospital-based facilities that have advanced neonatal and perinatal care capacity. There's a several regional academic perinatal centers that have 24-hour coverage from neonatologists and also maternal fetal medicine specialized physician coverage. There's also, and that's kind of the highest level of care in Arkansas, those academic regional perinatal centers. We also have a number of community hospitals around the state that have neonatal intensive care units. That these might be considered the level three facilities in many states. And so we currently have six hospitals that are community hospitals but have specialized NICU facilities. And then we've got the remainder of our hospitals across the state are 42 hospitals that just provide basic neonatal and labor and delivery care. And these are your basic community hospitals. And so we were interested in understanding, certainly wanting to know health outcome related differences across these settings, but also knowing more about the comparative efficiency and cost of care for low birth weight deliveries that occur across these three different kinds of hospital settings. So our main question was really to ask, are there differences in resource use for low birth weight infants who are delivered at NICU-equipped hospitals versus non-NICU-equipped hospitals? The challenge here is that we can't really conceive of a randomized controlled trial to look at this issue. We know outcomes are better. That would be ethical as well as logistic barriers to that kind of a study. So we're left with an observational research design to look at this issue. And studying this problem from an observational perspective, we know that we have a pretty substantial selection problem because physicians are more likely to refer their high-risk and most complex cases to these higher-level facilities. Because physicians certainly know the evidence around outcomes. And so selection bias is one threat that we confront here. We also have a censoring problem in that hospitals may differ in their rates of in-hospital mortality associated with with low birth weight and very low birth weight delivery due to case mix differences and due to quality differences across hospitals. And so if there are differences in the rate of in-hospital mortality, obviously in-hospital deaths affect your affect length of stay and therefore affect costs. And so that can be a bias in the opposite direction toward facilities that have higher mortality rates may appear to have lower resource use and may be more efficient. So we're interested in dealing with both of these issues, handling the selection bias, and also handling the censoring due to in-hospital mortality. The dependent variable we analyzed here, a measure of resource use, is infant total length of stay in the hospital. That's total length of stay in the delivery hospital, but then also including any additional hospital days that occurred as a result of transfer to higher level facilities. So total length of stay between delivery and discharge or death. Our primary explanatory variable, the independent variable interest, is these three different types of hospitals: the regional academic medical center where the delivery occurs, versus a community hospital with a NICU facility, versus a general community hospital without a NICU facility. We control for censoring, as I mentioned, infant death in hospital prior to discharge, and also control for a range of other factors that are likely to be associated with health outcomes or costs independently that would otherwise confound our analysis, including maternal measures of maternal risks from the birth certificate data, demographics, health insurance coverage, insurance status, as well as prenatal care adequacy. The data for this study come from two sources. We pulled records from our statewide all-payer hospital discharge data system for the state of Arkansas on all low birth weight deliveries that occurred, infants that were born in Arkansas hospitals during the 2001 to 2004 period, four-year period. We then linked those data with data from the birth records as well. So we look at three different analytic models to analyze this issue of resource, of comparative efficiency of resource use of deliveries across these hospital settings, trying to control for that selection and censoring issue. Our first model is kind of a standard single equation regression type model. However, we use a negative binomial model as the functional form here because of the length of stay variable being a count variable. So just a single equation model controlling for hospital type and all those other control variables that I mentioned. As a second strategy, we use a single equation model, but with an additional mortality control, throwing in a dummy variable for in-hospital mortality as an additional control variable on the right-hand side of that model. So a little better control, helping us to address the censoring issue, but perhaps not fully addressing the selection bias issue. This third model, where we use instrumental variables analysis, is really our best attempt to control for both selection and censoring in analyzing differences in resource use across these three hospital types. So we use kind of a nested array of three different equations. We first model the likelihood of the delivery occurring in one of these three different levels of hospital settings as a function of the control variables that we have, as well as a function of the instrumental variables that we have that I'll mention in a minute. We then, as a third, so we've got these first two equations that model the selection into different types of hospitals. We use a third equation to model the likelihood of in-hospital mortality as a function of the type of hospital where the delivery occurred, as well as the other characteristics of the mother and infant. And then finally, we use an equation to model the total length of stay, again, as a function of hospital type mortality, as well as the other demographic and health insurance characteristics of the mother. So to make that third analytic strategy work, we have to have instrumental variables, use variables that are predictive of the type of hospital where the mother delivers, but that are plausibly excludable from or not independently associated with our measures of length of stay. So these variables essentially mimic the process of randomization. If we were able to randomize women into these different levels of hospitals, that's what we do. In this case, we use instrumental variables that are correlated with, that help us predict the type of delivery hospital, but that are uncorrelated with the length of stay outcomes of interest. We use, as our instruments, measures of differential distance from the patient, from the mother's residence, place of residence, to the nearest hospital of each type, the nearest regional perinatal center, the nearest community NICU hospital, and the nearest community hospital without a NICU facility, the differential distance measures. And so a unique aspect of this type of analysis is that our results here really apply only to patients whose hospital choice was it, or the, where the delivery hospital was influenced at least in part by this, by how close the mother lived to these different types of facilities. We also use a slight refinement of the instrumental variables model to give us even more precise estimates of effect. We use this discrete factor approximation method, which lets us essentially do a better job of modeling the correlation of the error terms across these four equations that we use, modeling the effect of unobserved characteristics, unobserved heterogeneity that simultaneously influence choice of hospital, risk of in-hospital mortality, and length of stay. So that allows us to get more efficient estimates from this instrumental variables analysis. I mentioned the data already, I mentioned the control variables already. I'm going to need to move quickly into results here. This slide just shows you the distribution of our covariates across the three different types of hospitals. You can see here evidence of the selection bias and that the regional NICU centers are receiving infants that are on average smaller in birth weight and younger in gestational age. You can also see on an unadjusted level, you can see here, this is the result of the censoring bias as well. We've got higher levels of infant mortality because of the selection bias in the regional NICU hospitals compared to the community hospitals with NICUs and without NICUs. So this is just our unadjusted estimates. Here are the results from our three different estimation strategies where we attempt to control for both selection bias and censoring. In the single equation models, you see these are our main effects here, and they're expressed as incident rate ratios. In this model, you see in this estimate, we're comparing the estimated length of stay in the regional NICU facilities to the community and in the community NICU facilities, with the reference case being our community hospitals without NICUs. And you see these estimates basically both imply that the NICU settings have higher overall lengths of stay, about 25% higher length of stay when the deliveries occur in a regional NICU, about a 32% higher length of stay when the deliveries occur in the community NICUs. And this is just in our simple model. When we use the single equation model with the mortality control, you can see these estimates come down a little bit, but they're still suggesting that higher length of stay in the facilities with NICUs. When we use our most robust model, when we use instrumental variables to control for selection and confounding and mortality censoring, we actually see now the estimate, at least for the regional NICU facility, to reverse now. So we're now getting an estimate that suggests length of stay when the delivery occurs in the regional NICU setting, length of stay is about 7% lower than it is in the reference case of the community hospital without NICU. A length of stay is still significantly higher, about 17% higher when the delivery occurs in the community hospital with a NICU compared to the community hospital without a NICU. This slide just shows you the mortality results as well. The slide again highlights the fact that we do see significantly lower rates of in-hospital mortality when the deliveries occur in these NICU settings compared to the community hospital without the NICU. And this is just replicating results from prior studies showing this health outcomes advantage. So we do find evidence of substantial selection bias and mortality censoring when we're estimating length of stay differences across these different hospital types using conventional single equation modeling techniques. When we correct for that selection bias and mortality using IV techniques, length of stay appears lower in the regional perinatal centers compared to the other facilities. And that effect is even larger when we restrict the analysis just to the very low birth weight infants. And so these IV methods allow us to disentangle mortality differences from length of stay differences when comparing alternative types of hospitals. So I think there's wide application for these kind of models in comparative effectiveness and comparative efficiency studies such as this one. I'll stop there.